Machen wir ein ins Archiv.
Shane Atkinson, October 6, 1986, Griffith, New South Wales. The police say he hung himself. Kenneth Buchanan, November 15, 1986, Coffs Harbour, New South Wales. Glenn Clark, March 27, 1986, Glenicke, Tasmania.
Dixon Green, November 19th, 1985. Broome, Western Australia. The prison wardens say he died of natural causes. Charlie Hyde, December 18th, 1986. Yarrabah, Queensland. The police say he hung himself. David Kuafa, February 18th, 1987, Yarrabah, Queensland. The police say he hung himself.
Paul Kearney, July 11, 1986, Sydney, New South Wales. Tony King, October 29, 1985, Geraldton, WA. Cause of death said to be misadventure. Charlie Michael, October 9, 1984, Barton's Mill, WA. The prison warders claim he died of natural causes.
Doug Scott, July 5, 1985, Darwin, Northern Territory. Police say he hung himself. Names under taboo. March 14, 1987, Dambudgee, Queensland. Police say he hung himself. Robert Walker. August 28, 1984, Fremantle, Western Australia. Cause of death said to be misadventure. Robert Wygana, March 4th, 1987, Perth, Western Australia. Police say he died of a fit.
Milton Wells, August 6, 1985, Kalgoorlie, WA. Name is under taboo, March 29, 1987, Wooljah, Wooljah, Queensland. Please say he hung himself. Name is under taboo, April 11, 1987, Alcoon, Queensland. Please say he hung himself. Jimmy Nandy, May 29, 1985, Port Hedland, WA. Please say he hung himself.
Perry Noble, December 4th, 1986, Yarrabah, Queensland. Police say he hung himself. Kim Pollock, WA. Stanley Gollum, March 7th, 1986, Mount Gambier, South Australia.
And who's next? Tomorrow? Next week? Hear me, white man. You might kill our fighters, but you'll never kill our fight for justice. Our grief will strengthen our determination. Our anger will forge our courage. There will be no peace without justice. 21 black men have died in police and prison custody since young John Pat. When will you stand up for justice?
There's another black body swinging in a cell. There's another fat kid who's gonna burn in hell. There'll be no justice for the ones in uniform. They're doing the duty to which they're sworn.
Like the riot they started up in Brewarrina.
The people disagreed with the verdict of the coroner.
Young Lloyd Bonney had he taken a noose, while the cops had killed him are still on the loose.
Now the people gather round to mourn their brother, trying to find a way to make it not just another.
Another drunken black who committed suicide.
They wanted the truth about how he died.
No justice. No justice.
Then the cops showed up with their bats and shields, trying to hassle the people whose brother they killed.
But they were met with a barrage of bottles and rocks and
Someone shouted,
let's get the cop.
Arthur Murray stood up and said, everybody cool it. Every cop has got a gun.
They're not afraid to use it.
Big Sonny Bates came out of the crowd and stared at the cops and shouted out loud.
You've been killing us with guns for 200 years. Drop your bats and your shields and let's fight fair.
No justice. No justice. No justice. Just us.
But the stupid pigs just formed a line and charged the crowd for a second time.
Everyone went crazy, the cop rushed in.
Grabbed on, bus, take both,
anything!
5 minutes later, you couldn't hear a sound. Except coppers moaning as they land on the ground.
That's just it.
At night they really gave them what for. I guess you could say it kinda evened the score. But if the cops couldn't win on the street when they fought, they sure as hell wouldn't win when they took it to court.
They lied and perjured in front of the judge and the old white jury to win their grudge.
A cop,
one story,
it just can't fail.
Now Arthur and Sonny are rotting in jail.
Cops are murderers,
judges are puppets.
Laws protect the rich
and there is no justice.
No justice.
No justice. No justice. Just us.
In der Provinzstadt im Nordwesten Australiens nehmen Hunderte von Aborigines oder Kuris, wie sie sich selbst nennen, Teil am Begräbnis des Lloyd Bowney. Der 27-jährige Kuri wurde wegen Trunkenheit von der Straße weg verhaftet und 90 Minuten nach der Festnahme erhängt in seiner Zelle aufgefunden. Todesursache: Selbstmord, sagt die Polizei. Zeugen berichten jedoch, dass Lloyd Bowney derart betrunken war, dass er kaum auf den Beinen stehen konnte. Lloyd Bowney war die 16. Kuri-Person, die während den vorangegangenen 8 Monaten unter gleichen Umständen in Untersuchungshaft starb. Todesursache: Selbstmord. Pretoria ist nach Rassen geteilt. 800 Weiße, die in der Innenstadt wohnen, und 500 Kuris, die in Blechhütten und slumartigen Behausungen am Rande der Provinzstadt versuchen zu überleben. Später am Tag des 15. August 1987, nach einer friedlichen Protestdemonstration, versammelten sich Kuris im Park, um den Toten zu trauern. Die berühmt-berüchtigte paramilitärische Tactical Response Group der New South Wales Polizei, die an der Beerdigung unverschämterweise bereits anwesend war, stationierte sich gegenüber des Parkes auf der Veranda eines Hotels. Der Grund: Überwachung der Kuris, um sogenannte Ausschreitungen zu verhindern. Wie auch in Südafrika so oft der Fall, nutzten die Bullen die Gelegenheit, Weiße, die im Pub des Hotels saßen und tranken, gegen die Kuris aufzuhetzen. Die Polizisten standen auf der Veranda und posierten mit Gewehren und Revolvern, während sie rufen: Get out of the park, you black bastards, und you dirty niggas. Außerdem drohten sie, ihre Schusswaffen zu gebrauchen. We're gonna kill some of the black bastards. Die Kuris, provoziert durch die Waffen und Schlagstöcke und einmal mehr gedemütigt durch rassistische Wortschwallattacken, begannen sich zu wehren. Viele von ihnen wurden brutal zusammengeknüppelt und mussten medizinisch behandelt werden. Die Bullen waren in übermäßig hoher Zahl präsent und wurden von weit her zitiert, um einer rassistischen Provokation entgegenzutreten. 17 Kuri-Frauen und Männer wurden verhaftet und müssen nun mit 7 Jahren bis lebenslänglich Gefängnis rechnen. Die Anklage lautet: Teilnahme in einem gewalttätigen Auflauf, Körperverletzung von Amtspersonen und versuchter Mord. Verwundete Kuris waren nicht in der Lage, die Polizei anzuklagen. Das Gerichtsurteil wird von ausschließlich weißen Geschworenen gefällt. Keine Anklage wurde eingereicht gegen die Weißen, die Kuris mit Gewalt bedrohten. Es gäbe noch weitere Beispiele über den legitimierten Rassismus, der den Kuris ins Gesicht schlägt. Der Vergleich mit Südafrika ist wohl mehr als angebracht, er ist nackte Realität.
that there has been a significant increase in the number of police assigned to this district, and we know that in due course they will have an effect on crime, but only provided the laws are strengthened. Unless the battle against crime is successful, our state and our nation will descend to anarchy.
You've simply got to get rid of this system that says there are different standards of laws for different people based either on their age or their colour or any other part of their background. There's nothing wrong with the old system where the police sergeant could plant his size nines in someone's backside if he thought that was the most appropriate thing to do. And he ought to feel confident that he can do that without in any way jeopardising his own career. At the moment in New South Wales, that's simply not the case.
Und es ist eine Reportage über die unzähligen Morde von Kuris oder Aborigines, wie wir es kennen, in den Gefängnissen passiert, während sie in Untersuchungshaft sind. Ich habe jetzt noch einmal den Colin.
Hallo.
Und er kommt von Sydney. Und ich frage jetzt einfach ein paar Fragen, was jetzt in diesen Gerichtsfällen passiert, nach der Geschichte, die ich gehört habe, die ich vorgelesen habe. Und er weiß, was dort jetzt aktuell läuft. Okay, what is Arthur Murray and Sonny Bates? They're quite famous, aren't they? Like, in
yeah,
this
they're,
movement.
They're Koori activists and have been, especially Arthur Murray, he's been a Koori activist for 20, 25 years now, since the 60s. A long time ago, he was back in the 60s, he was doing fighting for more wages in the cotton chippers in the early industry of the when the settlers came to Australia. The $10, they were trying to get it from $10 for 12 hours a day up to $15 for 12 hours a day. That was in the late 60s when he was very active then. But since then, he's become the chairperson of the Black Deaths in Custody, and the police have obviously wanted to get hold of him for some years now. Sonny Bates is much younger, but he's still been a Koori activist now for 10, 12 years. They've been active mostly in the Black Deaths in Custody regime, which has been going now since the mid-70s when the Watchers Committee was set up, 73 I think it was, when they basically set up the first Aboriginal or Koori legal rights system throughout Australia. Which had a significant change straight away. Less people, less blacks especially, were found dead in jail. The police realised that they had some officialdom that they had to deal back with. It wasn't all just one way. And Arthur Murray has also seen one of his sons killed in police custody, and one of his sons last year was beaten to the stage where he's on a permanent kidney machine now. So he's got good reason to be active against the white police system that has been oppressing him for so long now.
Mhm. Also der Arthur Murray und der Sonny Bates sind zwei langjährige Aktivisten, wo beim Aboriginal ist, wir sind dem Watch-Komitee, sind also, wo sich einfach gewehrt haben, wo gewisse Fälle untersucht haben, wo die Schwarzen umgebracht worden sind. Und Entschuldigung. Und einer von ihnen hat auch einen Sohn verloren, auch im Gefängnis. Und durch das sind die zwei, also Murray und Sonny Bates, sehr wichtig für die Polizei. Also das heisst, wo sie an dem Auflauf gewesen sind sie natürlich die ersten zwei gewesen, die reingenommen worden sind, zum Weg von der Bildfläche genommen werden. So what are the charges against them, especially, or against all of them, but also Arthur Murray and Sonny Bates?
Well, 17 people were originally arrested and charged. Since that time, which was a few years ago now, two or three years ago, there's been about About half of those at least have been disappeared. Some of them haven't faced court yet. Mostly there's 8 of them that have been charged this year. 6 of them are being tried before an all-white jury this coming month. But especially Arthur Murray and Sonny Bates, which were the two so-called instigators of the trouble in Bowana, they've been charged, well, they've been actually found guilty by an all-white jury for riotous assembly, and which has got, I think it's a maximum 15 years in jail. And also Arthur got 2 charges and Sonny 1 of bodily harm to the police.
Mm-hmm.
They've both been to court about a month ago now, and it was adjourned. But they have been found guilty, and there's lots of cases going on now to try and prove their innocence. The worst thing about it is that it was all done. The convictions were solely based on police eyewitness reports. Nobody from the town came forward to defend or to prosecute the Aboriginals. It was purely done on police testimony. So they're probably a good chance of them going to jail for up to 10 years on pure police eyewitness reports.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, as you can see, it's pretty much one way traffic, and the unjust system has just shown itself again.
Mm-hmm. And how many were charged? 8 of them?
Yeah, 8 have been charged.
Also 8 von diesen 17 sind bis jetzt verurteilt worden. Wobei das letzte Wort noch nicht gesprochen wird, es wird auch angefochten wieder. Und jetzt habe ich gerade den Faden verloren. Und alle, alles Beweismaterial ist nur von der Polizei, von Augenzeugen von der Polizei, eigentlich die, die den ganzen Auflauf eigentlich veranstaltet und provoziert haben. Alle Aussagen sind nur von der Polizei gekommen und keine anderen Augenzeugen sind angehört worden. Und dann... Yeah, about the media, I wanted to know, how does the media, television, newspaper, radio cover the whole thing?
Well, I suppose, as you can imagine, it's pretty bad and distasteful. There are Koori radio stations set up in the inner city in Sydney, and there's Koori radio stations in most territories in Australia. But overall, the problem with Australia is that it's so far away. Things get covered up, things get put under the mat until maybe, whereas in Europe you've got the United Nations, which sure has got a bad record as well, but people at least can send to human rights, can put things forward to them, which they can at least look into. For example, Amnesty International probably wouldn't have got as big and as... I think they're still doing a worthwhile job, but that sort of thing couldn't happen in Australia at the moment because it's so isolated. So the Aboriginal fight seems to stay in Australia, whereas if it's South Africa or the apartheid regime there, it seems to get a lot more perspective in Europe and the rest of the world, whereas Australia always seems to remain so far away and everything seems to get swept under the carpet for another day.
Even though it's very strange because Australia belongs to the Commonwealth, doesn't it?
So yeah, but the Commonwealth wants nothing to do with these subjects. Yeah. I mean, the Commonwealth never wants to admit that it's got apartheid in one of its old colonial countries, you know? It's sort of... The biggest thing about media is that, as we all know, all throughout the world, media is controlled by the media barons, the rich millionaire barons that want to put what they want people to read. Australia's got a Labor government in, which is far from left-wing. It's got a pretty bad record on humanitarian and Aboriginal land rights issues. Most of the papers over there are owned by Murdoch, and Packer and Bond has a lot to say with what goes on in lots of the radio. So as you can see, it's really a big multinational dish over there that the Aboriginal rights and land rights and self-determination cause has got very, very little support throughout the media. There's lots of support through the universities, through the students, through the lots of the alternative people, even lots of the middle class greenocrats, which they call them over there, which are the people that actually put up the money for most of these cases. Just recently there was a court case for Tim Anderson, who was charged for the Hilton bombing. He was white, he was male. So naturally he was much more privileged straight away. They put all the money into that case. And it wasn't until he was found not guilty for being in jail after 10 years that the press suddenly decided that he wasn't guilty. And they turn about. Whatever happens, they sort of suit their own needs. But it's very bad. The media and the radio has got very little interest in bringing to light the justice that is so obviously needed over there.
So, and especially the case about Bravura, how is that covered in Sydney?
Well,
except the alternative radio station.
Okay, mainstream. As I said, one interesting facet of this case was that one of the biggest, most respected daily newspapers in Australia is the Sydney Morning Herald. It's still got lots of problems, but it does tend to put a fair view across on certain things. One of the reporters from the Sydney Morning Herald was actually at the Bawana riot while it was happening. Amazingly enough, he came forward and put lots of eyewitness reports forward for the defence of Arthur Murray and Sonny Bates. And when it came to court, not a single mention of this witness was brought forward. The prosecution said that it was invalid because he was, for one reason or another, it couldn't be brought up in court. The police evidence was valid, which could be brought up in court. And they were fined. They're going to jail. But the Sydney Morning Herald reporter is now putting his case forward somewhere else to try and get listened to, and at the moment he's fighting a few court cases of his own to get his eyewitness reports actually listened to and to go towards the defence of these two Koori activists.
Also, die Frage, wie die Medien berichtet über den Vorfall in Bravura, sagt Colin, es ist mehrheitlich die alternativen Medien, also Medien, die Radio, die alternativ sind, wie Skid Row, oder gibt es ein Aboriginal Radio, das heisst Radio Red Fern. Und die berichten natürlich sehr oft über das. Und sonst ist Australien ziemlich isoliert von der Welt. Das ist sehr schwierig, etwas rauszubringen. Und ein Reporter, der bei der Sydney Morning Herald arbeitet, war an und für sich dabei gewesen, an dem 15. August 1987 und hat Beweismaterial zusammengehabt, ist dann aufs Gericht gegangen und ist einfach abgewiesen worden, als das Material, das er habe, sei einfach ungültig, es könne nicht akzeptiert werden.
Next question.
That goes into that as well. Like, are there any political parties or any groups that actually support, like, go with Aborigines to demonstrations or support them in any other way?
As I was saying before, most of the inner city support for the Aboriginal struggle is based in a suburb called Redfern, which has got its own radio station, and lots of sympathisers hang around, live there, and tend to put a lot of effort into supporting this cause. But it's a white support, you know. Like, the thing is with lots of Koori's in the city, they just haven't, they can't relate to how white people demonstrate. And you quite often see a demonstration organised by a Koori group for usually deaths in custody or some sort of land rights demonstration, and there'll be more white people there than there will be black. It's sort of all new to them. It's not as though white people want to be dominating these meetings or these demos, but that's just the way that when you're in the city, and most of the Koori's that do organise demonstrations are from the city. People, the Koori's out in the bush, still living in their communities, don't particularly have any need out there, where they are left alone a lot more, not totally, but a lot more. In the city, there is lots of support. There's lots of there's quite a lot of lawyer support, left-wing lawyers. They have got quite a big lobbying support from the Democrats, which is the sort of the third party in Australian politics behind Liberals and Labor.
More left or more progressive than the Labour Party.
Yeah, much more. And yet they seem to be so far away from ever achieving any sort of recognition. You know, they oppose just, war. You know, you have to oppose war to be left-wing, I suppose, nowadays. But they oppose the war, they oppose toy guns for kids, things like that, in shops. You know, they do lots of these things that are just looked upon as hideous or you know, pathetic by most of the major parties. But, yeah, they have got lots of support in the city. They have got their own radio station, which we've said before, which does broadcast every day of the week. But there is big problems. It's not all sweet by any means. There's lots of alcoholism, lots of no hope. People that have been thrown out of their environment of 40,000 years suddenly into a white middle-class culture in the inner city, and in 200 years it's I'm afraid it's proved a lot more negative than it has positive. You know, there's a lot of a lot of alcoholism and lots of drug abuse, and slowly but surely there are lots of Kuis now that have been brought up in the white system. They're going about white demonstrations, you know, the way they're organised, and they are being quite active. Most of the Kui heroes, as such, are Kuis that have been brought up in a white society, that play maybe rugby union, or that have got a TV show, or that were in one of Australia's favourite TV shows of the 60s and 70s, a show called Skippy, about a kangaroo. One of the Kuis who was in that is now famous, and...
But those are not actually the ones that are supporting the ones that are suffering.
They say, look, we're black. You know, it's like America in lots of ways. It say, we're black, you can have what I've got if you struggle, you know, if you get out of your pubs and your hotels and try and make a go of it, you can succeed as well. But, you know, they're talking about white success, which is just really alien to a black culture. And not only is it a black country, it's a black part of the world. Asia Pacific and all around the South Pacific it's just like a big blister on the end of your thumb. You know, you've got this beautiful black culture that's going about its lives, and the only people that are really fucking it up are white colonialists. It's happening all throughout, with France and their testing their nuclear bombs throughout the Pacific, and British